The name Khrushchev once signified American fears about the Soviet Union. After all, it was Nikita Khrushchev who was the Soviet premier during the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was Khrushchev who vowed to bury us. But today, his son, Sergei Khrushchev, took his exam to become a U.S. citizen. Sergei, who is now 63, has lived with his wife in Providence, Rhode Island since 1991. He's a senior research scholar and lecturer at Brown University Center for Foreign Policy Development. His father had led the Soviet Union for about a decade when he was ousted in 1964. Sergei edited his father's memoirs, is the author of Khrushchev on Khrushchev, and is finishing a new book about his father. A few days ago, I asked Sergei Khrushchev if he expects his life to be any different when he becomes a U.S. citizen.
You know, what is different or not different, I don't know. I don't expect real differences A, B, C, D. But I'm thinking if you are deciding to live in the country, you have obligation to be the citizen. So we talk with my children, we talk with my wife, and then we decided to apply for the citizenship.
Your father, Nikita Khrushchev, was the premier of the Soviet Union. In 1964, he was ousted from office and denounced. And I'm wondering if you and if your father felt betrayed by your own country when that happened.
No, I can't tell that somebody ousted of the office then can be feel that they betrayed by the country. It was maybe they were betrayed, but he was betrayed by his friends and colleague who worked with him together at the government, but not the country. Country cannot betray you. You can betray country.
After he was ousted from office, he was basically written out of history. And I'm wondering how that was done. How has your father basically disappeared from Soviet history?
No, I think that, of course, you have no knowledge of the authoritarian system, because when everything is controlled, and then you are not mentioning some name, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, and then it's disappearing because nobody remembers. You have only written history. If there's no mentioning in the written books or newspapers or anywhere, the people will forget you.
Do you think that the KGB ever spied on your family?
Of course they spied all the time over the family, because they want to be secure that nobody, nothing plotting, and because they want to have this control over the family. And so they bugged, of course, our home, and then bugged my telephone. And I tell you, even when they stopped listening to me during the Gorbachev time, and then some people ask me, what are you feeling that they are not bugging you? I told that I'm feeling that now I'm not important. Nobody need me.
Now, you worked in the space program and the missile industry. When you were designing missiles, did you ever think that there was likely to be a nuclear war between the United States and the Soviet Union?
No, really, you know, when you are designing something, you're more thinking how it's functioning, but not that really and can be the weapon. I don't think that it's possible to design such thing that you really will think about all these moral aspects. When I talk with my American counterparts who worked in the same field, they also never thought that they will build weapons that will kill Russians or Americans. We just designed that our accuracy will be the best in the world, and we will just deliver, as we told, this freight to the port where it was targeted. And we never saw the Americans as the people, as the enemies. We thought that we have to defend our country, and would they will not begin the war, we will never use these weapons.
Do you think your father believed there would ever be a nuclear war? Even during the Cuba Missile Crisis, did he think that,
you know,
it might come to war?
Each politician have calculate all possibilities, including a nuclear war. But he did everything to prevent this war. I think it is one of his biggest achievements that during his reign, these 10 years from 53 to 64, he, working together with President Eisenhower, President Kennedy, turned the world from war to peace. because in 53 we were very close to the war, and then even through all these crises we just went not to the war but from the war toward the peace, or as he called, peace coexistence.
In the United States, people who grew up in the 1950s and 1960s had these nuclear bomb drills where in school we were taught to hide under our desk in case of a nuclear bomb. There were fallout shelters all over. Was there an equivalent in the Soviet Union? Were children being trained in what to do if there was a nuclear attack?
Yes, it was very similar. We were trained in school, also in each governmental office. You must to have the shelters. It may be half of money spent on these shelters than the buildings. But, you know, the nature of the people are different, as I told. All the time you lived protected by the two oceans. You have never enemies. And our people, through the different wars in this century, two world wars and the civil war and several small wars. So it was not so much serious of all these drills. But I remember after all these drills at school when they told us about the nuclear explosion, as you have to cover something with the white. And it was just the joke that you have to cover yourself by the white blanket and then slowly move in the direction to the cemetery. And they ask, why slowly? Because you mustn't create panic.
What did you think of the United States during the Cold War?
You know, it was big similarity in the Cold War, the both sides of the Iron Curtain. You had the fear that we will begin the war with the first possibility. We thought that you will begin the war with the first possibility. You think that we are evil empire. We think that you are evil empire. So in some of my articles, I am using we and you, and they told it depend where you are. You can think that you are American or you are Russian, or we are American and we are Russian. It's very similar on the both sides.
My guest is Sergei Khrushchev. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to the interview I recorded with Sergei Khrushchev, the son of Nikita Khrushchev, who was the Soviet premier at the height of the Cold War. He was ousted in 1964. What was it like when you were the son of the premier of the Soviet Union? How did that change your life? Were there any privileges that came along with that status or responsibilities?
It's very similar in every way. It's no difference if you're living in Kremlin. Because we never lived physically in Kremlin, but to use these words, so you're living in White House or in the Windsor Palace in England, because you have privileges, of course, more than others, but we had not so many. We have no bodyguards, no limousines. We used subway when we went to the university and the tram cars. But from other side, of course, you have to calculate everything because you're under the such, how to say, surveillance of the people. It was no freedom of media. It was no paparazzi in our country. They will not make, I don't know, your topless photographs and publish anywhere, but it will be rumors, everything is the same, as my parents told. All the time you have to remember that you are Khrushchev, have the name Khrushchev, and what you are doing, it will just be transformed in the rumors about your father and your family.
You know, in the United States, the image of your father, Nikita Khrushchev, was as someone who was very loud, very unpredictable, something of a peasant, and I'm wondering if that angered you, if you knew what the American image of him was and how you felt about it.
Well, you know, really, I think what I'm working, trying to present the real image, because if you are on the opposite side and you are feeling that people are your enemies, you are trying to make this image useful for you as bad as possible. And sometimes it's misunderstanding between the different cultures. And sometimes my father exploited this image threatening the opposite side. You know, he used and we think he is unpredictable, he can do everything, and he many times use it in his speeches and his sometimes negotiation, even in his interview. Because I remember when he gave the first TV interview, he was very nervous because before it was on the paper, so you present him questions and then he give you answers, and he can change everything what he want. And with you on the screen, you cannot change. And when they prepared the next room to his office in Kremlin, and he just walk in his office, his assistant told me who was there, and then he make his decision. He opened door to this room where was the American crew, and he began to shout, you know, you're Americans all the time, you're trying to find the worst things, you're asking such bad questions, and all others. And they were so surprised, sit looking at him, and then he did this performance about 5 minutes. Then he stopped and turned back, went to the door and closed the door. And then they were so scared that they didn't ask any question that he didn't like. So he knew this his about this image, and he tried to use it for his favor.
Your father died in 1971. That was 7 years after he was ousted from office. Did his non-status in the Soviet Union affect the kind of burial that you were able to give him?
No, yes, of course, because on this status of his, he had the burial on the Red Square, the same as it was like here, the Arlington Cemetery, but they decided that they will bury him in the other, how to say, less prestigious place, but also very prestigious. I think it even better, because in the Kremlin Wall is so many bad people and even criminals they're laying, and they're around him, his friends, generals, and the writers and composers. So I prefer him to be buried in this Novodevichy Cemetery than to lay near the Red Square, in the Red Square near the Kremlin Wall.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Sergei Khrushchev, and he's the son of the former Russian Premier Nikita Khrushchev. Were you worried that the war in Serbia was straining relations between Russia and the United States?
Oh, it's the bed of stupidity of the leaders. You can use everything to destroy the relations because it's so easy to ruin and it is very difficult to restore. You know, it was such expression of my father. He told that each fool can start the war, but that needs so many wise men to stop the war. But I hope that not. I don't think that it is so important region to United States and Russia that they will begin to quarrel too much with each other.
What are some of the things you're most looking forward to doing as an American citizen?
Working? Each citizen have to work. And what you think that American citizen doing different than any others? I don't think that they drink more. I don't know.
So you don't think it's going to feel much different?
No, you have the obligation living here, that you are a citizen, that doesn't mean that you will behave different. I worked before, I'm working now, and will work in future. I'm teaching, I'm lecturing, I'm writing, and I doing everything what I can. And also I'm enjoying my life. We are just working in the garden with my wife, Valentina, and we like nature, so we have the different roses, flowers, strawberries, tomatoes. Now we planted grapes, and when we have time, we are walking and going to the parks, enjoying ourselves.
You know, for a lot of Americans, your becoming an American citizen has a lot of symbolic significance. Here's the man who is the son of the Soviet premier from the period of the height of the Cold War, when the Cold War was at its real coldest. And I'm wondering if you think it's reading too much in it, or if it's appropriate to give your citizenship a lot of symbolic weight.
But you know, I think that it is symbolic way, symbolic, but in a very different way, because I not became the American citizen, becoming American citizen at the some artifact of the Cold War. It's just a sign that everything changed. It's no Cold War, because I wouldn't be even think of such possibility during the Cold War. It's no opposition now, and we're trying to create the new life and new relations between two countries. And the best signal this that if I will be live here, it will be no negative reaction in Russia. And I talk with the people that they told you can be American citizen and we will be happy when you will come here, or we will come there and visit you. I think it very good for the world. And if other thing that is, that they are still living in the Cold War, what we can do? Many people cannot change themselves.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you.
And enjoy your life as an American citizen.
Thank you.
Sergei Khrushchev recorded a few days ago before taking his exam today to become a U.S. citizen.